This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Friday morning, everybody. Glenn the Geek here, and it's Friday, the 30th of October, episode 1289. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Jen and I are still traveling. We're going to be heading over to Flag Is Up Farm, Monty Roberts Farm in California today. We're looking forward to that. We've never been there before. We'll be recording Monday's show from Flag Is Up Farm this weekend, so you'll hear that on Monday morning. Jamie will be joining us by Skype, so she will be there. And from what I hear, Debbie Laux and Pat Roberts, Monty's wife, have some special guests planned that are going to be stopping by the farm on recording time over the weekend. We're hoping to get a trail ride in and do some fun stuff over at Flag Is Up Farm. But we have a show for you today, and this is off of Jennifer's Best Of list. She keeps track of the episodes that she really likes. This was back in May 1st, 2015, and we thought it was appropriate that this is Breeders' Cup weekend, that we would actually bring you a show that was right before Churchill Downs, right before the Kentucky Derby. So this show is from May the 1st, 2015, and it includes Billy Goodman, who called in from Todd Pletcher's operation at Churchill Downs on the backside, giving us a report the day before the Derby. We talk about the Derby favorites, a lot of whom you're going to hear over this weekend at the Breeders' Cup. And of course, we had some really bad ads for you as well. So we thought before Breeders' Cup weekend that you would enjoy this episode that came out right before the Kentucky Derby. Enjoy this weekend, everybody. Of course, we'll be talking about what happened at the Breeders' Cup next week, and we'll be back live. We'll have the show for you that we record over the weekend from Flag Is Up Farm, and then we'll be back live with you on Tuesday morning of next week. Have a great weekend and enjoy the races.
It's Kentucky Derby Day, and we're at Churchill Downs in Louisville with a record crowd watching 20 of America's leading three-year-olds parade to the post. They're off. Keep your eye on the horse moving out from the inside rail into the lead. That's War Admiral.
Inside, there goes Raymond Earl, and Affirmed is right there and challenging between horses. On the rail and is also moving up. Then it's six legs back to the next horse, Sir. Head of the stretch. For the moment, Seattle's still battling it out together. And here's Run Dusty Run now closing ground and moving in the third.
Second as they approach the half-mile pole going into that far third. Sweet Northern Saint has picked his way through the pack. He's down on the inside for Barbaro in the clear, poised as they move into the far turn, and he's moving up to be fourth now.
And then Colonel John comes on the scene late as the field turns for home at the top of the stretch, and it is Big Brown who rolls open now to a three-length lead.
An American Pharoah is putting on a show!
Firing line and Dortmund gonna hit it together! Dortmund's comeback!
International star again, triumphs in the end!
And Frosted has won the Wolf Memorial!
It's Materiality on the inside, grimly holding off Upstart! Materiality and Upstart!
Okay, I'm sorry, you can't play that and expect me not to have tears in my eyes. God, you want me to talk out of that? Are you forgetting? And California Chrome shines bright. I was like, oh, I lost it. Okay, piece it together. It's too early in the morning for me to cry. It's ridiculous. Good morning, everybody. It is Oaks Day. Glenn just like surprises me with that. Talk amongst yourselves for a second, please.
I have more of that coming up, too. I have a special one that was done for the Triple Crown winners over the last 100 years.
That
I think is really going to tear you up. That one's really good too.
Let's count the times that Jamie cries during today's show. I swear, my girlfriend invited me. She's like, "There's a really nice off-track betting bar in Cave Creek," and she's like, "Oh yeah, we go all the time. It's called Harold's. It's super fun." And I was like, I don't think I can do it. I end up crying like 6 or 7 times on Kentucky Derby Day with all the lead-ins and the TV stuff. I was like, I don't want to make a mess of myself.
And if you're like Jennifer, you want to sit at home. She doesn't want me bothering her. She doesn't want the cat bothering her. The horses, nothing. She wants to sit at home by herself with her popcorn and watch it all day long.
Absolutely, that's what I want to do. So yeah, and Chad's going to be working, so I'm going to have the kid, and I've actually talked to the babysitter to come over while I'm home and babysit the kid.
There you go. There's a plan.
Hey,
that's one way to do it.
But
How about shipping him out? Can you ship him out somewhere?
Yeah, right. No, I did the preface of like, so you want to come over and like hang out and watch the Derby? She's 12. I'm like, you want to watch the Kentucky Derby? Yeah, come over. Yeah, okay, cool. I'll see ya. she's bored her horse here, so it's not weird for me to invite a 12-year-old. But I'm like, you hang out with Lukey. I just need to watch the TV. Mama needs to watch TV right now. But I'm so it's that day, and if Jennifer's anything like me, we start watching the pre-race coverage on whatever NBC Sports or whatever channel is on, ESPN Ocho, all the pre-race stuff. So yeah, just hours before the race, and Chad's always like, this is 2 minutes, right? The race is 2 minutes, and you've been in front of the TV for 6 hours. I'm like, shh. Super Bowl. Think about your Super Bowl. See,
exactly. That's what I say to Jennifer, too. I was like, you've seen this story 12 times today.
Yeah. Well, it's great, though, because I don't follow racing hardly at all year long, but it's awesome now because they have, like, 19 hours of coverage immediately before the Derby, so I can catch up on all the stuff I didn't watch all season long at one time. It's binge sports watching.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And you know what's funny is that since I do this show, I've always kind of kept up with it, but never to the extent that I do now because I'm sitting talking about horses all the time. So I do a lot more research. Everybody and their brother has called me this week. Hey, how's it going? Who's your Derby pick? Like random people. My old student who was in college in Montana called me yesterday. She's like, how's it going? So I'm going to this Derby party.
Don't they know you always lose? Don't they know that you're not really good at this picking thing?
You know, they want my pick, but really they want to know like who's in it. They're like, okay, tell me everybody who's in it. That matters. And so, I tell them the ones that I think would make really good eventing prospects.
There you go.
That's all I pick.
Well, Jennifer, what is coming up in today's show? We got a lot to do.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition. That's right. It's time to put picks for this weekend's Kentucky Derby out there, along with plenty of Derby factoids and qualified advice on how not to wager. And mid-show, Billy Goodman, who is a groom for Todd Pletcher, stops by from the backstretch with his view of the race. And then at the wire, the Equity MFG.com really bad ads wins by a nose because it's gay, folks. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. We got a lot coming up on today's show, and I can't wait to give you guys, I put together this morning, you and Dawn are going to play against each other in a quiz about Derby trivia.
Cool.
And I think some of these, I don't think either one of you are going to get some of these. So we'll see. We'll see. I tried to make it tough because I think Dawn is like knows a lot of stuff. So I tried to make it tough.
I'm not good at quizzes. I'm not good at verbal quizzes. Give me a piece of paper and a pen. And I'm getting stressed out thinking about having a test. Good Lord.
Well, we do have a lot to do today, but first we have to do our daily whinny. Mine go out to Brendan and Lindsay, and the reason Brendan and Lindsay are getting my daily whinnies is because they helped us. We recorded yesterday our second Lyman People series over on the Stable Scoop radio show. The first one we did over 2 years ago now in 2013 is still our most listened to episode on the Stable Scoop show in all 7 years we were doing it. And we recorded a new one tomorrow, kind of getting an update on Lyme and the medical, political, and otherwise. And we had a couple of listeners who came on the show and told us about their battles with Lyme. Brendan is a horse husband, and he and his kids had it. And then Lindsay is Reese Coffler Stanfield's sister, who is still battling it to today, 10 years later, still having big problems. So we had them both on, and they were kind enough to do that and tell their stories, which is hard to do sometimes. So I give them kudos. That show will be out later in the day today.
My Daily Whinny could potentially lead in on Monday morning to a That Girl segment, so you just hang in there. I am going to, you know, I sold Jet to a nice young lady that has been riding with me for quite some time, and she is taking him to his first ever horse show on Sunday. And so I was going to give my Daily Whinny to her because I'm just super excited for them and really proud. She's taking him to a hunter show where he begins his new lifetime career as a hunter jumper. Now, the That Girl moment might come because, you know, I got two slots in the trailer. Might as well take somebody with me because she doesn't have a trailer, so I'm taking her to a hunter show. And so, that's right, Thor is going on a road trip.
Really? This weekend?
I'm taking Thor to the Hunter Jumper show. We're not going to compete, but he's, you know, he hasn't been anywhere and might as well take the time to start showing him around to new places. So we're going to see whether Thor is the kind of horse like some, none that I own, where you take them off the trailer and they're like totally calm, or am I going to take him off the trailer and it's going to be like flying a, you know, jet airplane on the end of a lunge line. So we shall see. It's going to be super exciting.
Very good. Well, good luck with that. We'll see how it goes. We'll be anxious to see pictures on Thor's Facebook page. How that goes.
Yeah. You'll see him. You'll see him. Nothing like taking a Mustang to a hunter show. That is the one place where I don't think he would do very well.
They're all going
to
be.
Kind of guaranteed. He'll be the only one there.
Yeah, he'll be a novelty. They'll all be pointing into, you'll be that girl again, that's for sure.
That's what I told you.
I think you just like to be that girl. Well, let's bring our listener in, and she's a super race fan, and she's going to join us now, and her and Jamie are going to talk a little bit about the horses in the Kentucky Derby and get a little pre-race discussion going here. Dawn Deans. Good morning, Dawn.
Hi. Morning, Glenn. Morning, Jamie.
Morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for joining us. Glenn likes to pick winners by the name, and I thought, well, I have to have somebody to talk to about the other stuff. So
there you go.
I appreciate you coming on. Now, I first of all, how are you? How are your horses? Everything good?
Paris is good. Yeah, just had a checkup. She's 27, so doing fine. Bless her heart. So yeah.
Aw, bless her heart. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, I just to let you know about older horses. Glenn, did you see what I posted on Facebook? I want to just give a little shout out. I should have done my Daily Whinny for this. But I went to. Do you guys remember that horse that I had named Jack? And I sold him because I knew he used to be a police horse, and I sold him as a police horse to another police department, to the Tempe
police
department.
He was a black horse, wasn't he?
Yeah, big giant bay horse.
Yeah,
and,
bay horse, yeah.
And, well, it was about 3+ years ago that I sold him. Well, I got invited last night, and I went to his retirement ceremony.
Oh.
It was so cool. I've never been to a police horse retirement ceremony. I mean, they treat them like, you know, they're officers. So I'll have to share the pictures on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. But I seriously, like, they had cake. They had a bucket of carrots and apples for him. They had cake for everybody. They did like this whole ceremony thing. It was really, really beautiful. It was really cool to be a part of it. And pretty much everybody that had been a part of his life showed up, and it was really, really neat. So,
where's he going now? What's he doing now in retirement? What happens to him?
Well, he, you know, they have issues staying sound for you know, being on the streets all the time and pushing crowds around. And he's up there now. So he is going to go retire in a 5-acre grass pasture and give a trail ride or two to the occasional grandkid.
Oh, cool. Very good. Well, he deserves that. Perfect.
Isn't that neat? I mean, he's been a service animal for so long. You know, like they joked during the ceremony, they were like introducing everybody because I had tracked down the first officer who owned him, and then he was there. And so they talked about him, and then they talked about me, and they were like, and thank goodness Jamie couldn't make him into a jumper because he came to us. Worst jumper ever. So anyway, it was really neat. So I thought Donnie would appreciate that, being that he's, you know, he's got to be 22 now. So that's pretty aged for a police horse. And it was nice to see him just all shiny and good and be able to retire. So anyway, that's where we were yesterday. Now to racehorse talk. Glenn, you and I haven't talked very much about the Kentucky Oaks. So I just emailed you a link to all the horses, and I want you to pick somebody for the Oaks. Don, have you looked at the Oaks at all today, the Kentucky Oaks?
I mean, a little. It's a good race. I think all of them could win. It's really evenly matched. I picked my favorite, who knows. But I just like the looks of her and her trainer and everything. So I have a pick, but...
All right, well, let me just run down these for you, Glenn, real quick. We've got the horses Forever Unbridled, because you can just pick by a name, because I know you will. Forever Unbridled, Shook Up, Include Betty, Etskin for Money, Condo Commando, Angela Renee, Lovely Maria, I'm a Chatterbox, Money's Son Charlotte. Boy, they can name fillies weird things, huh? Ocean Wave, Sarah Sis, Stellar Wind, that's a good name, Bird at the Wire, and Puka, 14 horses. Glenn, anybody stand out to you?
Well, there are three of them. I picked a trifecta because I couldn't decide who was going to win, so I'm going to box a trifecta. And, of course, you have to have I'm a Chatterbox, because who doesn't want to hear that announcer saying that coming down the stretch?
Jennifer,
I'm a Chatterbox. Who doesn't want to hear that coming down the stretch? I'm a Chatterbox for the win. The other one, you know, there's another one in here. Forever Unbridled just sounds like a winner. Forever Unbridled just sounds like Horse of the Year, doesn't it? It's just a great name. It's just great. And then Condo Commando, just because it's funny. So I picked those.
Condo Commando, Forever Unbridled, and I'm a Chatterbox. Jennifer, write these down. You got to keep the list.
I got it. Okay. I got mine.
So what about you, Don? Who are you picking?
Okay. Are we going with the trifecta then? I like...
you can... Whatever you want. However you would get it.
I like Bird at the Wire.
Okay.
I like Lovely Maria. I don't have him in front of me. Sorry. Trainers won it twice, I think. Larry Jones. And then... Angela Renee for third. We'll go with that.
Off the top of her head, man. She is a fan. That's impressive.
That's true. You picked a couple of the favorites, too. Bird in the Wire and Lovely Maria are sitting 5-1 and 6-1. So you got a couple of the favorites there.
Well, she doesn't have the number one favorite, though.
Right.
You didn't pick Stellar Wind.
No.
All right, so since Stellar Wind is the favorite and nobody picked the favorite, and you want to do a trifecta, first of all, I'm going for Puka. Puka is at 9-1, and the reason I'm picking Puka is because my friend of mine who owns Hidden Brook Farm, Puka was actually born at his farm and raised by them. So I got to go for Puka. Going off at 9-1. You remember my friend Laura that came on the show the other day pre-roll? She works for Southern State. She's involved with that farm. So I got to go.
That's a
with
Bill Mott horse, right?
I don't even know.
He's the trainer of that horse. And, yep, he is the trainer of that horse. And Junior Alvarado is riding.
Okay, good to know, good to know. Now, the other horse that we talked on Wednesday, and I said there's only one horse that's going to win this race, and I just feel like Lovely Maria has to be in the trifecta. She's just lovely and amazing. So we'll go with Lovely Maria. Now I got to pick a third. Oh, God. Let's see. Okay. Usually I pick by, you know, let's pick by the color. I really like Forever Unbridled. It looks like Edward. But Eskin for Money looks like, no, it didn't look like Edward.
Eskin for Money has crazy eyes. That bear has crazy eyes. That's like,
All right. Forever Unbridled looks like Edward. So we're going to go with Forever Unbridled as my third.
And Jennifer just texted that she's picking Include Betty. So she's got Include Betty in there. So
yeah, she Jennifer, you need a trifecta. Hello. Jennifer, you're going to have to talk. You're going to have to talk right now. I think she's
three?
On mute. I'm taking her off
I
mute.
I have to pick three? Oh,
you
gosh.
Three.
Okay, let me hit the back button. You're three. I would like Include Betty's going to be first. And then I'm going to go with the... who's next? I'm going to go with Puka because that's a cool name. And, oh, I think he's cute. Puka's cute. I like her. And I'm going to go with I'm a Chatterbox.
There you go. All right. See, I'm a Chatterbox coming in here more than you'd think. I'm a Chatterbox now sitting at 10 to 1, by the way.
I've got a question.
Not too bad.
This is the philosophical question. The Oaks, we have really great names for fillies like Include Betty and Chatterbox and what's the other one? Bird of the Wire. Really girly names. Why is it that we never see colts with names like Plumber Butt or I Don't Do Laundry? Or,
oh, my gosh.
Really?
That's a great name.
Why
actually.
Is that?
That is a good name.
Double standard.
Like both of them. There you go.
I would totally
send them
the
to
horse.
The Reeves. The Reeves need to know those names.
They always have good names anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, before we run out of time, let's talk about the Derby, guys.
Oh, my gosh. So much to talk about. I am just absolutely in love with a couple of horses, and I am just obsessed. And you guys know that I got the TVG app. So, my betting lines have sort of changed. Right now, you know, we'll go over the because we had a scratch, actually, and I'm sure, Don, you know this, but one of the horses has scratched, and so another new horse is actually in. I'm looking for my news story right now. Kind of, what are you feeling? Break it down for us, Dawn.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you probably know who my top pick is, Dortmund, because I keep posting pictures on my Facebook page. I'm just in love with that horse.
Gosh, me too.
I've been since, like, last year, I think, when I first saw him race. But he's by Big Brown, who I love, and I got to visit. He was at Three Chimneys, and he's just big and chestnut and... You know, I think every race he's been in a battle, and he fights that one race. I think he was passed in the stretch and came back on the inside and won. And
which never happens.
So,
once you get passed, you're passed.
Right.
And that just shows you his fighting spirit, Dortmund's fighting spirit, when he gets passed in the home stretch and was like, oh, hell no, and like turn it on and kept running. It was really amazing.
Well, and he's sitting in a good spot. He's coming out of the eight hole, too, so he's not in a bad spot either.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's what good there. He's ridden by Martin Garcia, Bob Baffert horse. Of course, Bob has a few.
Or Martin Garcia, Glenn. Come
Martin,
on.
Martin, sorry. Yeah.
Twist
sorry, I got it. Right.
So Stanford, Todd Pletcher's horse, one of Todd Pletcher's 47 horses in the race, was scratched, and Fromento is in the field. And this is interesting because Fromento is trained by Nick Zito. So Nick Zito is finally in the race. Interestingly enough, I can't believe that he hasn't been in the race before. And what's really neat is that if nobody else scratches, this is going to be the first time in several years that Zito, Baffert, and Dwayne Lucas all have Derby horses at the same time. So that's kind of neat. It's bloodbath.
throw Pletcher in that? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I guess Zito hasn't been in it in a while or something. No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I guess not. I know. So we've got your first pick is Dortmund. Kaleem Shaw, who also owns Bayern, named this horse Dortmund after one of the soccer teams. So so that's why his name is Dortmund. He's actually named after, I think they have named him after this little cities or something. So it'd be like naming the horse Braves or Yankees to them. So that's how Dortmund got his name. Now, who else do you like?
For second, I like Mubtahij. I think that's how you say it. He won the UAE Derby, which he looks spectacular. I just think he's going to run a big one. He's got a quick turn of foot. He flies down the stretch. So I'm hoping for him.
Picking
to be
the
in
foreign
money.
Horse, huh?
I am. He's gorgeous, and I watch the. They stream the workouts every morning. Yes, I'm such a goof, but I on KentuckyDerby.com every morning they live stream the workouts, and he just comes out on the track and just head up and just has a real presence. So he looks really good.
He's the one, Glenn, that I was talking about on Wednesday. That there's three things really interesting about him. First of all, he's not on Lasix, and he's not going to be on Lasix because they're like, he's not a bleeder. He doesn't need Lasix where all these other trainers use it and abuse it. They're like, he doesn't need it. Second thing is he walks around the barn on like a lead rope. There's no chain over his nose, no chain in his mouth. He's on a cotton lead rope. They just like he ambles around the barn. It's amazing. The third thing about him is he's barefoot. Did you know that, Dan and Don? No shoes.
For the race, too? Or just, I think I had read that. At least he trains barefoot. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, why would they throw shoes on him for the race? I don't know.
Right.
But, he's barefoot. It's amazing.
Wow.
All right, so we've got, I should have gone first. Dortmund and Mubtahij. Who else are you liking? Let's get a third pick.
A third? You can't leave American Pharoah out. He's just. And I loved him. He's been as a two-year-old. His owners, Zayat, I read they've been second in this race three times. But he's just been floating over the track, and he looks really calm. They schooled him in the paddock, and he's just cool and calm. And he's just amazing, too. I mean, I hope it comes down to Dortmund and American Pharoah. I mean, you want both of them to win. They're both so amazing. But, so I have him in third.
All right. So those are the three that Don deems is picking. Glenn, do you want to make your pick?
Sure. Now, the one thing about American Pharoah we have to keep in mind is he's sitting in the 17th spot, and only three winners in the entire history of 141 years have come out of 17, 18, or 19. So so that's something we have to keep in mind is American Pharoah is not sitting in one of the lucky spots.
Yeah, I think about that. I mean, and definitely it makes a difference. But I think that if you break out of the gate well, you can get in any position you want. You might have to use a little extra energy right at the beginning. But if you break well, get on up there and move over. You know, I hear so much about post position, and we all watched Big Brown come out of the 20 hole. 20, and they just couldn't keep him down. You know, he ended up winning the thing by, considerable amount. It wasn't by a nose. So, interestingly enough, I don't put that much into post positions as far as shaping the race, but that's such a big field of 20 horses that it really does change everything. So you got to spend the energy and break well, in my opinion.
I worry more about the inside horses. Like Carpe Diem drew the two. I love him too, but I'm worried about that. So I think that's harder to come from, like the one or the two.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. You guys are just wrong, wrong, wrong. Because nobody that's a favorite ever wins the Kentucky Derby. That's been proven in history, and it's also been proven that I have the uncanny ability to pick the winner. As
you
I
do,
have
actually.
In probably
right.
About three out of the last 5 years that we've done this. So
I know.
Here are my official picks.
Oh,
to
write
win.
It down.
Are you ready? This is the ones you want to bet on, people. Forget what they all say. They don't know nothing. I am judging entirely by name. And how could you not pick a horse that is named after one of the most popular winter sports in the world, curling? That's right. My pick to win is Keen Ice, because that's where he got his name, is by the sport of curling. Keen Ice is because, you know, curling is all about slickness and smoothness and all of that. And you're going to see Keen Ice. I don't even know who trains Keen Ice. Who does train Keen Ice? Oh,
Dale Romans.
And Keter Sormo's riding him, so I don't feel too bad about that. All right, good. That's my pick for win. Second place. I was hungry this morning when I was picking my winners, and then I read Frosted, and I thought of Cake, and that's where I picked Frosted from. So Frosted, it comes in second place. Again, I don't know a damn thing about that horse.
Frosted is a gray. He's the only gray in the field, and the rider is Joel Rosario, trained by Kieran McLaughlin. So you're not too far off there. That's a good pick.
Okay, good. So we got Keen Ice because of curling, Frosted because of Cake, and I picked American Pharoah because I'm kind of a history nut, and there were never any pharaohs in America, so they got it wrong. So I thought, well, that must mean he's going to come in third. So that's American Pharoah.
Wow, both you guys picked American Pharoah for third. That is super interesting. All right. Now, I'm kind of irritated with Dawn because she went first, and we have some similar picks. And she and I have been talking on Facebook about this, so we kind of – I'm pretty sure she's copying me. I'm not copying her.
Oh, okay.
I never have that worry. Nobody ever copies me.
No, you're safe. You're super safe with me, Glenn. Your picks are very unique to yourself. Watching a lot of the pre-race stuff, I just thought, oh, my gosh, there is nobody that can pass American Pharoah. There's just nobody that can beat him because he just seems unbeatable. And so I thought American Pharoah was going to win. And then I saw Dortmund run. And his running style and the way that he eats up the ground, especially in that home stretch, nobody's going to pass him. When he wants to run and he gets clear, there's just nobody that can beat him. So I'm definitely picking Dortmund for the win. Irritatingly enough, I love Mukhtahi. Just the story and the interesting way that this horse is and the way that he, you know, Dortmund is schooling in the paddock every single day and they're having issues with him behavioral wise. Like they can't get him to settle down in the paddock. They can't get him. They've had to saddle him in different places. They're really, really working hard on getting him to chill out. Whereas Mukhtahi is like on a cotton lead rope walking down to the barn, like no problem. He's so relaxed and he's so chill and he's never raced in the United States. And I don't think, Don, you can fact check me on this, but I don't think a horse that has never raced in the United States has ever won the Kentucky Derby. So I think it's going to be really
correct,
hard.
Actually. That is correct.
But the trainer, Mike DeCock, is so incredible in every other country that he runs in. So I can see him bringing his success over here. The horse is ridden by Christoph Sumillion. Sumillion. I don't know how you say it, but it sounds really cool. Then my third pick is I'm going to give him another chance. The easy pick here is American Pharoah. You guys both took him for third, but I got to go with Carpe Diem. Todd Pletcher trained, John Velasquez rides him. I just think he's just incredible, and I've seen him come in second, so he could be in the top three. Yeah. Of course, we're all going to box all three of these, our picks, right?
I always do. I have so much confidence I box.
Spend the extra money, because you'll be mad if they come in a different order. I've got to go with Carpe Diem. I think American Pharoah is going to be, it's hard. It's so hard to pick against him because he's just so amazing, but he is the favorite. And if you want to make some money, then you got to step out of the favorites. Right now, Carpe Diem is at 15-2. Dortmund is early sitting at 4-1. American Pharoah is 5-2. So you've got to spend, $2 to make five. So that's not
that great. Mubtahi is sitting at 10-1. I think that those odds are going to even increase a little bit more. Glenn, would you like to know where Keen Ice is sitting right now?
Yeah, I got to know how much they're going to win. Yeah.
If you spend $1 to bet on Keen Ice, you will win 40.
Oh, cool. So, I like those odds. That's great. Yeah. How about Frosted? How about the cake course?
The Frosted early line, and this is from a couple of days ago. It could have changed. You're going to spend $1 to win 16. So
I'm going to be rich. I am going to be so rich when they come in this order. Hey, you guys laugh at me. I have been right more than any of you. I'm telling you. I haven't.
All right, I'm
going to
find
stuff.
The current odds. And by the way, Glenn, first of all, you said that you picked the winner last year and favorites never win. I believe California Chrome was the favorite and we all picked
him. Yeah, but I have a caveat there. We picked him long before the race. I mean, it was like 6 months before the race we picked him.
Yeah.
So
we watched him on the trail. So
yeah, he wasn't a favorite at that point.
Yeah, but you also picked Texas Red this year and look how that worked out.
Well, it ain't my fault he got hurt. I mean, it ain't my fault.
Got an abscess and went off the Derby trail. Whatever. It's totally
all right.
While
you're
Jennifer.
Looking for the current. We got to get Jennifer's picks here real quick, and then we'll go to our commercial.
All right. Let me preface this with the fact that I was not going to pick any horses trained by Todd Pletcher or Bob Baffert. Therefore, there were only three horses left.
Yeah, right.
Are you serious?
So I'm going to pick first is going to be Firing Line because I have all the faith in the world that Gary Stevens can take this horse who has sort of a chance and get him across the line first.
He's a good one. That's my long shot. That's a good pick, Jennifer. Yeah.
And in second place is going to be Ocho. Just because I love the name.
It is a good name. It is a
good name. And the guy riding is named Elvis, right? That would be so cool.
Yeah.
And in
the song
third,
there somewhere.
it's because when they bought him as a 2-year-old in training, his hip number was 888. That's how he got the name. I thought that was very clever. And in third place is going to be Frosted because in the year 2014 and 2015. Yeah, no, because anything with the word frosted, frost, anything to do with winter. It's just going crazy this year, so
and it makes money, yeah, especially if it's Disney-related. Yeah. True. All right, we got Jennifer's picks. Let's take a break for a commercial. We'll be right back. I have a game. Dawn, you are going to play Jamie in a game of Derby trivia here in just a second.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a nervous wreck.
Her life was falling apart around her, but when she saw his sweet face and heard the low knicker, the pain eased. She stood in the stall for some time, running a brush over his sleek coat, down his powerful muscles and over his tight, cool tendons. He cocked his back leg, waiting patiently. She scratched his favorite spot and was rewarded with a crinkled smile and outstretched neck. The stress flowed from her body, and she knew with him in her life, she would make it through. This love story is brought to you by Endure Extra, providing high-fat calories, direct-fed microbials, and natural vitamin E to support optimal condition and performance. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
And, of course, you can follow them at Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook as well. That was a new one, Jamie. Did you hear that?
That's time number two I've cried during the show. Good Lord.
They do a good job with those. All right, here we go. So your name is your buzzer. Just say your name when you if you know the answer here, and we're going to see who does better, Dawn or Jamie, two amateur race buffs here. Okay, no
very
cheating
amateur.
Either. No Googling this, so no cheating. And no, Jamie has not seen these questions. Question, what does it cost to enter the Kentucky Derby with all the fees added up? I have a multiple choice. You ready? $25,400, $40,600, or $50,600?
Jamie.
Your name's your buzzer. Jamie.
I got to go with the first one, but I can't believe it's that much. But
25,400? Is that your answer? Wrong. Dawn, do you have a guess?
B.
Wrong. It's $50,600 to enter the race.
Really?
It's a $600 just registration fee. There's a $25,000 entry fee, and there's a $25,000 gate fee. So it's a total of $50,600.
Wow, those guys at the gate are paying well.
All right, here we go. Who was the oldest jockey to ever win the Kentucky Derby?
Jamie.
Dawn.
I heard Jamie first.
I'm just throwing out a name. Is it Eddie R. Carroll?
Wrong, Dawn. Yes, you're correct. He won at the 1854. Yeah, that's right. He won at 54 on bonus question. What horse?
Ferdinand.
Yay, 2 points
Yay!
For Dawn.
Woo!
1986, he won on Ferdinand. That's correct. Kicking your ass, Jamie. Who is the oldest trainer to win the Derby?
Jamie.
Yep.
Is it Art Sherman?
Yes, it is.
She
says with great confidence.
You're freaking me out right now. You're like totally mean to me when we're playing quiz games. I'm not going to take it anymore.
He was 77 last year, California Chrome. That's right. All right. True or false? The Derby is the oldest continuously running sporting event in the United States.
Jamie.
Yes, Jamie.
False.
Well, that can't actually give her the true or false. So, Dawn, you can't actually answer that. Yes, it is the oldest continuously running sporting event in the United States.
I thought we talked about on Wednesday that the Belmont was older.
Yeah, it is, but it wasn't continuously running because, remember, it had to take a break.
These BS details you've got. My God.
You were even here for that one, Jamie. All right.
I don't study well.
Okay, here we go. Next one. What are the top two most popular colors of Derby winners?
Jamie.
Dawn.
Okay, Jamie, go ahead.
Red and blue.
I meant the horses.
I didn't even mention their colors. Chestnut and Bay, hello.
Yes, there you go. All right, we're tied up at 2-2, Chestnut and Bay. There were 52 bays and 46 chestnuts.
Haven't you ever seen a red or blue horse?
Blue.
I mean, my God, blue horses are...
I was going, what the hell is she talking about?
They're colors. Sorry.
Have another mint julep there, Jamie. All right.
Not answering.
What is
Dawn, you're in charge.
What is the most tied up here? What is the most popular first letter in the winners' names of the Derby? In other words,
Dawn.
What? Dawn, go ahead.
Sorry.
No.
S.
Yes, it is S.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, I would have totally said that too. You've got in the history. You have Super Saver, Street Sense, Sunday Silence. Who else, Dawn?
Secretariat,
Seattle Slough.
Oh, Seattle Slough. I was thinking of the double S's. Let's see. Silver Charm, Smarty Jones. God, that's a good question. That's kind of fun. Name 10. Go.
Okay, Dawn, for the bonus question, because you got that one right, who was the most recent S winner?
Oh, my gosh.
Jamie is itching at this one. She's just going, I know.
Do I get your bonus? Do I get it?
Super Saver? Is it Super Saver?
Yes, you're correct. It is Super Saver. All right, Dawn's leading 4-2. All right, this is a tougher one here, guys. Who performs the Kentucky State song, My Old Kentucky Home, each year at the Derby? Who performs it?
Every year?
Every year since 1936.
Somebody who's really old now.
No answer? It is the University of Louisville Marching Band.
Oh,
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew that
the band, but yeah.
All right, now here's an easy one. We'll see who can say their name first, basically, on this one. What were the only two geldings that have won the Kentucky Derby since 1929?
Ooh, I can name at least one of them. Oof.
I thought you guys would be jumping right into that one.
Let's see. Gelding. Who was the last gelding to win? Jeez.
You're going to shoot yourself.
But did all have another? Was it gelding?
No.
I know one, but since what year, Glenn?
1929, so recent history.
Yeah. Dawn, I got it. Oh.
Okay.
Minot Bird.
Yes.
That's right. And the second?
Funny Side.
Yes.
Right.
That is right. You're right. It is Funny Side. Correct. Ding, 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 ding. Good for you. All right,
hold
now
on,
the speed
my,
round.
My puppy just went into the kitty litter box. Give me a second. Get out! So gross!
I hate when that happens.
Why do they like cat poop? That's so disgusting.
I know, our dog does too. We have to actually hide the cat poop or the kitty litter from the dog, yeah. All right, here's the speed round. You ready? What year was the first year the Derby was televised? 1948, 1952, or 1962?
Jamie.
Yeah.
52.
Yes, 52. Jamie gets three. It's now 5-3. Dawn in the lead. Second question. What post position has never had a winner ever in the history of the
Jamie.
Derby? Dawn, you were first.
17.
Jamie?
19.
Yes, correct. Jamie's got four. Dawn's got five. What year has had the most fan attendance? 1962, 1974, or 2005?
Ooh, I was going to say a totally different year.
So, me too.
Jamie.
Oh, did John, did you say first?
B.
1974? That is correct. That is right. It is 1974. And the bonus question is, who won that year?
Oh, who won the year after Secretariat? Jeez. See, there was a million people there, and nobody remembers.
It's kind of one of the
oddball
ones.
Was it Cannon Arrow?
No, brr.
No.
It's Cannonade. You were close. Cannonade was, it was one that you would never talk about.
Cannon Arrow was earlier, I think, Cannonade Secretariat. Yeah, so Secretariat was there. He won in 73. This makes sense. And then everybody showed up the next year to see the next horse, and it was Cannonade, and nobody cared ever again.
All right, I have two left. So this is a chance to catch up because it's 6-4 with Dawn in the lead. All right, how many fillies have won?
Jamie.
Dawn.
Okay, go ahead, Jamie.
Two.
Burr.
Dawn?
Three.
Three is correct. Can you name them?
Oh, gosh. Regret.
I can.
That's right, Regret.
Risk and Winning Colors.
I forgot about Genuine Risk. Crap, I always forget about Genuine Risk.
How'd you remember Regret? I mean, is that a popular one?
Because she's amazing. She was like the greatest filly of all time, except for
really?
Mountain Meadows.
1915 was Regret. Genuine Risk was 1980.
Glenn, if you had ever watched The Man from Snowy River, you would know that the stallion that got loose was the colt from Old Regret, her last foal. Boom! Mic drop. Although
that.
The years
don't
really work out, but that's what he says. Remember, Don, when he brings him off, it's a colt from Old Regret. You know, it's worth 1,000 pounds. Everybody knows that. Although, time-wise, if Regret won in 1915, The Man from Snowy River actually took place in the 1800s, so it doesn't make any sense. Regret wasn't actually born yet, and I've done the math. It doesn't work out. But there you go. That's how we remember Regret.
All right, I have one more question. It looks like this is just for fun because Dawn has kicked your butt. So one more question is, one foreign-based horse has won the Derby. Who was that?
Jamie?
Yeah.
I was going to say Fusaichi Pegasus, but it wasn't him. Because
he just had a great name.
Japanese owned. Was it Monarchos? Because that was the next year.
No, actually, this is, do you have any idea, Dawn?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
No.
It was Cananero, which is the one you just said.
Which I just said.
Yeah, said it. 1971 was an upset winner from Venezuela. I thought that more foreign horses had won through the years, but I guess not. One winner.
This is the reason why Mubtahi is one to watch. It's time for another foreign horse to win.
Yep, I agree.
And actually, so we just said earlier that a foreign horse has never won. Oh, but he's probably raced on American soil before Cananero did. So
right. Yep, I think he did some of the prep races from what I read. I didn't know much about that. And now, do you want to hang around, Dawn? We are going to Billy Goodman here, who is a groom for Todd Pletcher on the backside. Do you want to hang around for that? Or
I really can't, but this has been so much fun, you guys.
All right,
thank
you, Dawn.
For
congratulations for beating Jamie, and we'll make sure that we see whether you're the big winner on Monday.
Okay, happy Derby.
All right,
thank you, Dawn.
Have fun watching.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going right away now. We're very excited to be going to the track at Churchill Downs to the backside. We have Billy Goodman on here, who is a groom for Todd Pletcher. And
he knew all
Todd
the answers.
Yeah, he probably did. Yeah, Todd Pletcher has the most horses in the race. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. I guess the mood is starting to change around there this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been in a pretty good mood this whole week. It's been a good week of training, and everybody seems relaxed and happy with what's going on with the horses. So we're looking forward to a big couple of days for sure.
Now, when you're in a big barn like Todd's, does it just increase the intensity tenfold on the backstretch, or does everybody just know their job so well that it just runs like the barn that has one horse in the race?
Yeah. You know, it's a good question, and the last part of what you said is very true, because we have such amazing people that work for us, and the system that we have that Todd's put in place that he's learned from Wayne Lucas is one where everybody knows their role. There's no questions asked. You just do your job, and it runs like a Rolex. Really, it's pretty amazing, big machine to watch. It's a huge operation that runs like a small operation, and that's what makes it so successful.
I can imagine the logistics just to keep track of what horses are where and what they're eating just every little detail has to be, that's part of your job is the details, but there's just the bookkeeping to keep track of that is something else.
Well, we happen to work for somebody that if the average horseman doesn't really realize, horse person doesn't realize, is just a savant. The guy is brilliant. He, you know, I've told people so many times stories where we have upwards to 180 horses in training, and Todd can literally in the dark in the morning identify every single horse just by looking at them. It's we work for a different breed for sure, and he knows.
Wow.
You know, when the last time they breeze, when the next time they're running, it could be a month from now. When who's going to ride it? Who owns it? Where are the horses from? Who bred the horse? The breeding on the horse, it's pretty amazing to watch. And
oh, my gosh.
The attention to detail.
So he just has
a
photographic memory then? He just remembers
everything? He's just very, very, very good at what he does. It's kind of scary, actually. I've listened to other people that work for other trainers, and the trainers themselves, some of these other trainers will ask the foreman, will ask the groom, you know, which horse is this? And that just does not happen with Todd. You know, he knows exactly who it is, and he watches the horse jog, and he knows who the horse is just by their movement. It's pretty impressive. It really is. It's not a mistake. It's not just because he has great talent that he is successful. There's so many other factors that go into it.
Now, are you guys assigned a horse, or does everybody take care of all the horses? Are you assigned horses? How's it work in that barn?
Yeah, everybody gets their own horses. I mean, typically during the year, we, as grooms, we all take care of four horses. And in this situation here, we follow our horses to this race. And some of the top grooms that might not have had a horse that gets to this place will be shipped here anyway to work with horses simply because they're good at what they do. But like for myself, we're only taking care of two or three horses here, where normally we take care of four. I only have two here, and one is Competitive Edge, who's running tomorrow in the Pat Day Mile, and I've had him since he came to our barn last May, and so we know the horses very well, and I think that's part of the reason why we're here, and it makes it easier for the horse, makes them happier, and you know the nuances of their attitude and the way they are, and that's part of the reason why we do so well.
So Billy, you're saying you've had him since he got there and probably was pretty
right.
young. You spend all this time with these horses, and say they get claimed or they move on or they go somewhere else or somebody buys them. Are you sad to see them go? Do you get attached to them?
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. In fact, a filly who's running today, she's a mare today, that's running for Bill Mott named My Miss Sophia, and she's running in the La Trienne, was my filly from day one. Ran her in the four times last year, five times, ran her in the Kentucky Oaks, ran second. Could be the sweetest, most unbelievably beautiful filly that I've ever been around, and she's no longer with us. She went to the Keeneland Sales in the fall. She got sold for $1.2 million to somebody that is an agent for one of Bill Mott's people, and she got transferred to Bill Mott. So to see her go is very, very difficult, but to know that she's with an operation like Bill Mott, and I've been able to go over to the barn and see her and spend time with her. They've been very, very gracious about that. Makes it a whole lot easier. And the good thing for us is, you know, we don't deal with a lot of claiming horses, so we don't lose a lot of horses through that way, and which is good. And but we do move horses around quite a bit. So if I'm in Saratoga and a horse wants to run in Belmont, the horse is going to ship to Belmont. I'm not going to go with the horse because we have people there. So that's difficult as well. Like my horse Competitive Edge is going to run here. Then he's going to get shipped to Belmont, and I won't see him until he comes back to Saratoga. So, yeah, it's difficult in that regard, but I know that we have really, really good people that take care of the horse, and he's going to get incredible attention and care. And so it's a catch-22, but it is difficult at times, for sure.
That's for sweet sure. that you've been going over to visit with her. That's so nice.
She's amazing. She's gorgeous. And you watch her today. She's going to win, by the way. And don't let Todd hear me say that because we've got a horse in the race, but...
Yeah, but it was a previous, you know, or that counts.
Yeah,
hey,
I gotta
ask you, because this is a question we all own horses. Everybody that listens to this show are horse owners, and we all have horses that are wonderful, and we all have horses that are difficult to deal with in the least. So out of materiality,
sure.
It's a knockout and Carpe Diem. Which one is the most difficult in the barn?
Well, you know what? They're all pretty well behaved. I did groom Carpe Diem last fall when he won the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland. I had him for a couple of weeks, and he was the picture of class and maturity at a young age. And now he's turned into a bit of a racehorse. You know, he has certainly he certainly understands. I think they get it. They understand. He now knows that I'm pretty special, and so he can be. Not difficult, not bad, not mean, just, you know, a little studdish sometimes, and he understands that, hey, I'm pretty good, and, you know,
he's
a lot of people
like
are watching.
He's like a celebrity. Like, celebrities behaving badly. Once they get rich and famous, then they think they're above the law.
Thankfully, they're not going to do anything that the public is going to look at and be pretty disappointed in, but they don't get jaded by the money that they're earning, that's for sure. But he's pretty classy. The other horses in the barn, pretty well behaved, very well behaved. We don't have anybody that's really bad. Britannico, who's running it today, is probably the most difficult of all of them. He's, I don't know if you watched Schooling the last couple of days, he can be a little rambunctious in the saddling area. If you watch him today, I'm sure he's going to be a handful for his handlers, but he's got the best groom in our barn on him, Martin. So it'll be interesting to watch him get saddled. But for the most part, when you get to this position, you have horses that are as bred well as these horses are. They don't act badly as much as you go down the line to horses that might not be as well bred and so on. And they kind of get it. The owners, they understand they're going to buy horses that's the reason why they buy the horses. They have a lot of class, they have great breeding, and typically they're going to act professionally for the most part.
Well, I hear Cosmic Ones and Yada's Son is like as rank as they come. So, you know, I guess you can get lucky here and there.
Sure. It does. Sometimes it does happen, you know, and you hear stories about the way Dinoformer was, and a lot of Dinoformer offspring have been pretty bad and so on. But, and we had a filly named Rags to Riches years ago, and Rags to Riches was notoriously bad. Very, very, chased a lot of people out of her stall. And typically fillies don't do that, but she was tough. But in the barn right now, they're all pretty good. They're all pretty nice.
Sweet little Rags to Riches was a demon.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Look how she ran in the Belmont. She looked Carol and I to eye, and she said, "You're not going to do it today, buddy." So she's pretty tough. Yeah, she's pretty tough.
She's amazing. Well, okay, before we let you go, I know you got to get back to work, but who's your pick then? Is it Carpe Diem?
Well,
or is it somebody else?
I mean, right now for us in our barn, I'm a huge proponent of Carpe Diem. He looks good. He's training great. He's got the pedigree. He's got the whole package. I think Materiality is a horse that 3 for 3, young but improving, and you always want to see a horse at this point that gets better with every single start. And he's a horse that if they get the trip, listen, you got 20 horses in the race. It's so subjective as to the trip and a little bit of racing luck. And there's no question that Baffert's horse is going to be difficult to beat, but I think of our horses, those two right there should really equip themselves very well, for sure.
Awesome. Well, we'll be looking out for them. And gosh, Billy, it's been awesome having you on. You're fantastic.
Appreciate you guys having me, for sure.
We'll look for you on TV tomorrow. We'll be seeing you. We'll look for you on TV tomorrow.
Competitive Edge, fifth race, running in the Pat Day Mile, and he's just a little bit behind everybody else because he had a little injury in the fall. But you watch for him tomorrow and watch for him the rest of the year. He is a special, special animal, and I think you're going to hear a lot from him.
We're going to open our TVG app and put $2 on him right now, okay?
Dude, that's a smart move. Smart move.
All right, Competitive Edge, race 5, everybody.
All right,
thank you, Billy.
Thanks, Billy.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I have to thank Jessica Smith for helping me book Billy, and boy, she did a great job. He was terrific.
Gosh, he's great. Terrific. Makes me want to go freaking back to the track and work for Todd Pletcher.
It sounds like they have a well-oiled machine, and it sounds like he has a photographic memory. Can you imagine?
Amazing.
I could not remember, and he remembers, you know what Callie Francois told us too, our adopted bug, is that he remembers everybody's names. He knows every exercise rider. He knows every groom. He just knows everybody's names. I just can't imagine. I wouldn't be able to recognize 100 horses. There's no way.
Oh, you know, when he said he had 180 horses in the barn and knew all of them, I was trying to think, if I have known 180 horses in my life and whether I would remember the names of all of those. You know, I mean, I remember when I went to summer camp, I right now could name all of the horses in their stall in order by memory. But so I guess it can be done, but I wouldn't remember what work they had last and how they're training, and I certainly can identify them by their walks and what their times
Jennifer,
were, and who their owners are.
Jennifer,
and
you were at a Jennifer worked at a very large breeding stable for standardbred racehorses. What did you was it? Did you remember the horses?
I remembered. Yeah, I had 75 horses in my own barn that I remembered. That wasn't hard because you see them every day. It's not that bad. Now, the difference there is I saw them every day. I was there for 8 hours a day. I can't fathom the whole, like you said, Jamie, remembering the works and when they race next. And, wow, I remembered their names, and I remembered who had a cut on their hock. Wow, that's crazy.
Well, let's do this. Incredible. We have to get off a little bit off of racing here because we have really bad ads to do, and you know nothing stops really bad ads, not even Derby Week. So we have to get to our really bad ads. We're going to be giving away an Equity Flex and Fork today too. Diane is going to be on from Equity, and we're going to be drawing a number. Everybody that submitted ads this week is going to be in the qualification. But first, I want you to take a listen to this. This will definitely get you in the mood for the races later today. Remember, they're on NBC today and tomorrow. We have all the girls racing later today as well. But take a listen to this. I think this was done by NBC. This was a couple years ago, so a couple of the figures he gives are incorrect. But it's a terrific piece.
A home run for Yastrzemski. Baseball has its Triple Crown, which hasn't been won in 41 years. In thoroughbred racing, Australia and England have Triple Crowns dating back to the mid-1800s. America's racing Triple Crown is considerably younger, but it's the primary measuring stick through which our thoroughbred legends are judged. The first Triple Crown winner, Sir Barton, had never won a race when he was entered in the 1919 Kentucky Derby as a pacemaker for stablemate Billy Kelly. But Sir Barton never gave up the lead in the Derby or the Preakness or the Belmont Stakes. News reports of Sir Barton never mentioned the phrase Triple Crown, which was first used to describe the feat in 1930, the year Gallop Fox swept the three races.
Gallant Fox duplicates Sir Barton's feat of winning the Preakness, Kentucky Derby, and Belmont Stakes. America's Triple Crown, a truly great three-year-old.
Gallant Fox's son Omaha became the third Triple Crown winner. When Omaha died in 1959, he was buried in Omaha. In the movie, Seabiscuit won a match race against War Admiral, the very same War Admiral who won the Triple Crown in 1937. 4 years after that, a stretch-running Finnum burst upon the scene.
Whirlaway now joins the exalted ranks of Sir Barton, Gallant Fox, Omaha, and War Admiral as Big Shot number 5 to take the classical Triple Crown.
In 1943, Count Fleet wrapped up his Triple Crown with an exclamation point, a 25-length romp in the Belmont Stakes. Ever heard of the Club-Footed Comet? That was the nickname for Texas-bred Assault, who stepped on a surveyor's stake as a youngster, yet became the seventh Triple Crown winner. And 2 years after that, the Great Citation. Legendary Calumet Farm raced Whirlaway and Citation. Eddie Arcaro rode both horses and said he thought Citation was better. After Citation, a 25-year drought had some critics claiming the series had gotten too tough, that there may never be another Triple Crown winner. Then came Secretariat. The sensational 70s also produced the only back-to-back Triple Crown winners.
They're clearing the finish line as Bill Seattle Slew, and he's opened it up to 4.5.
Seattle Slew still stands as the only undefeated Triple Crown champion. Slew towered over his rivals in 1977, but the next year showcased the most famous rivalry in American racing history.
Affirmed and Alidar heads apart. Affirmed's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
Affirmed, ridden by 18-year-old Steve Coffin, outgutted Alidar in the Derby, Preakness, and Belmont, in perhaps the most magnificent of all Triple Crowns. We didn't know it then, but those memories would have to last us at least 30 years.
Well, that's right. It's more than 30 years now since the last one. That was made a couple of years ago. But it is definitely exciting, the thought that we could have another Triple Crown horse coming up.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we have a little fun with listener-submitted Craigslist ads from around the country. Maybe they're a little wonky in some way. And today we have two prizes that we're going to be giving away. One is the Equity Flex and Fork, of course, the best manure fork in the world. The absolutely one that you're going to want to get on an order. If you head over to equitymfg.com, just look for the Flex and Fork. There's a couple of different options there. I was out using my Flex and Fork yesterday. And, of course, there's the other option is the Shake and Fork. If you clean more than three stalls a day, you're going to want to take a look at the Shake and Fork. And we're going to talk to Diane from Equity a little bit later in the show. And then the other prize that we're going to give away today is what, Jennifer?
We're giving away a book. It is called From the Horse's Mouth by Eric Herber Mann. And From the Horse's Mouth is a completely revised and expanded edition of its predecessor. The book was called A Horseman's Notes. It is based on years of practical teaching experience. Respected teacher and author Eric Heberman presents the inner workings of horsemanship in his uniquely philosophical and poetic style, which will assist every rider to discover the joys of how to create ever greater harmony with your horse. And you can get your copy from Amazon.com today.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. So a couple of great prizes. And, of course, everybody that submits an entry all year long, whether you get on the air or not or whether you win or not, is going to be in for a shake and fork drawing at the end of the year around Christmas time. Well, let's get started, Jamie, and it looks like you have the first one. Jamie,
uh-oh.
Are you
Jamie
there?
Jamie left the room. Sorry. Excuse me. I was battling puppy and litter boxes still. Good Lord. So I heard everything you said, sort of. I was kind of busy. I was like, get out of here.
I basically said, you're the first up. Go ahead.
All right. Horse on sale. And this is from Shelly in Denver. Well, Shelly's not in Denver. The ad's from Denver. Shelly sent it in. She did not write it. Horse on sale for the bargain price of $595. When does that ever happen?
I know. I don't know. He's a car salesman at his real job.
$599.99. All right, my horse here to be in good about 15, age 7 years old and will stand for sure and vets. I don't know what I just read. Has a lot of ALOTA, a lot of go. I've done some stuff with her. I don't ride her anymore and looking good to seal. Now AI moving and will not take her with me. Come get. Trade for working car. I don't think you're moving because you don't have a car. Trade for working car. Exercise equipment, treadmill, etc. Or a good house cleaner. Must go soon.
You can buy a house cleaner? I didn't know that. I didn't know you could trade for a house cleaner. Do they like live with you and stuff?
I don't even know what she's trading. I mean, she's got a horse on sale, and she says she's moving, or he says he's moving, but you're not moving because you don't have a working car because you're trying to trade your horse for a car or a treadmill. That is so bizarre. Or a house cleaner. That's definitely a first, Shelley. A first we've ever seen anybody want to trade for a housekeeper.
You're not going to have the housekeeper very long at $595. I'm just saying. She's not going to be
around. You got about 3 visits out of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, Lindsay sent the following one in. Dump site needed in the Kingman area. I'm cleaning up a property and have several large piles of ashes I need to haul off. These are old burn piles and have lots of nails and broken glass, etc. There will not be any paper trash or tires. I have a dump truck and can dump it over a holler or wherever you want it. I can dump it over a holler. When's the last time you heard that term? Good God.
My God.
Is he from the Appalachians? Do they say that in Georgia, over the holler? Or is that just an Appalachian thing?
I think holler is, it's
it
pretty common.
It is?
But I think, yeah, it's Southern. It's a Southern Appalachian type of thing. I think it's ever seen in an ad, though. Yeah, no, I've never seen it in an ad. This is
for those that need a translation that live in other parts of the country or the world, a holler means like the next valley over the mountain.
That's exactly what a holler is.
Did I get that right? That's what it means, right? It's the next valley over the mountain. Yeah. Yeah. You go up over the mountain and go down in the holler. And usually hollers are where you're going to find illegal stills. That's where you're going to find the illegal stills is in a holler. Yeah.
Or, you know, people say, I live in the next holler over. They say, Perfect.
Yeah.
And what's funny is the next sentence. Where is the property located?
And the property is in Cates, Indiana, which they must have been What's the move there? Because I don't see people in Cates, Indiana, which tends to be a pretty flat state, saying holler.
Their holler is somebody dug a hole for their pool. And they're like, let's dump it in the holler.
They're a transplant for sure. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for sending that one in.
That was great. That was great. It's in the holler. Robin sent in the next one. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Here we go. These animals, this is the title of the ad. No punctuation. These animals have to go. You name your price. The chickens are free.
I really hate the chickens.
Really, take the chickens. Get them out of here. Must go. Hate to give them away. Tried selling them, but couldn't fast enough. I have 2 potbelly pigs, 6 goats, and 3 chickens. One lives inside with me since my wife left.
That's why the animals are going.
They are all very healthy and happy and would like them to stay that way, please. Oh my
No
gosh.
Eating the pigs. No eating the goats. No eating the chickens. Apparently, you have to.
The wife left, so I moved the goat inside the house. Seriously,
He doesn't say. He said one lives inside the house. He doesn't say whether it's a pig or goat or a chicken.
It can't be good, no matter what.
He's going to be lonely when he gets rid of all those animals. His wife left, and now he's going to have
to. That's when you say, oh, bless his heart. He lives with the pig.
Bless his heart. That's right.
Bless his heart.
Very good, Robin. Jody sent the following one in. Good ride, broke horse. $550 in Darby. I have a 17-year-old registered Taviano paint. We have a lot of Tavianos lately. He is 15.5 hands. That's right, 15.5 hands. He is riddable. However, you do have to be experienced. His name is Eclipse. Like I said before, he is 17. However, he thinks he's 5. I have owned him since 2009, and I have ridden him a lot. He needs someone with a ton of patience. He is an excellent ride. Okay, once you go through that he needs an experienced rider and he's crazy, you don't put he's an excellent ride. You just add that to the end because it's insincere and it's just a lie at that point.
Yeah. No. If you say he's 17 but he acts like he's 5, that means he's an unbroke 17-year-old.
Exactly. He's going to kill you and he's not an excellent ride. It pretty much sucks. You should just put he's a sucky ride. But he's only $550. You can have it.
$595.
I got 2 potbelly pigs, 6 goats, and 3 chickens that I'll give you free if you buy this Taviano paint.
And you clean my house. We're going to combine them all. Sienna sent in the next one. Rototiller like new. Also, 2 horses. $600.
He likes the rototiller.
Yeah. Doesn't like the horses too much because, to read the ad, big rototiller has forward and reverse Troy built text for pictures. It has only been used 6 times. It is a $750 tiller. Have a paper happy mare with a year and a half old filly for $1,600.
This is definitely, you know how we argue whether it's a male or female? This is the horse husband and she left.
Yeah,
let's just
take that with
the pig in the house. Yes, exactly. They could. Those two need to start a support group. Boy, you love that tiller,
and you
though.
Know it's a dude because they spelled Philly with a P-H.
Like the steak. Or the city. Kayla sent this. Kayla's a new one. Sent this one in. Kayla. 2 horse trailer. $450 in Horse Cave. Isn't that in Arizona? Horse Cave?
Kentucky.
I don't know.
Oh, that's Kentucky. You're right, Jennifer. That is Kentucky. This is our trailer of the week. Needs TLC.
No, I'm kidding.
Bought to move our mare from Alabama and ended up not needing it. The mare didn't move. We were told Kentucky laws will cost more than it's worth. Thank you for reading. God bless. Needs to be gone immediately, please, which is going to be difficult. Because it has no tires. There's no wheels on it. There's no tires, no wheels. It's just sitting there. And doesn't it kind of look like it's tied to the stake there? That stake? Looks like so it doesn't get away.
What's, I don't know what's going on in this picture. I mean, the thing, poor little old trailer, it's tiny. You could maybe, I mean, it looks like it fit a mini horse. And there's all sorts of junk out in front of it. That's a mess. That trailer is a big old mess, hot mess. Well,
we will post that on Facebook for all to see. It's one of those white round front ones like we see so many times in really bad ads.
Okay, the next one was sent in by Beth, and this is kind of one of those things where, like, just give me the details. Don't give me so much information. It's too much information. Okay. I want a horse. Thoroughbred.
Well, that's simple. I want a horse.
I want a horse. In parentheses, thoroughbred. Hi, I'm glad you clicked on this ad. That's a good start. 3 months ago, my best friend, oh gosh, this is such a teenager, so I've got to start over. Because who else on Craigslist is going to write an ad called I Want a Horse than a teenager? I want a horse, thoroughbred. Like, hi, I am so glad you clicked on this ad. 3 months ago, I got to do this. Literally 3 months ago, my best friend's colt died, and he like would have been 26 3 days ago. 26. The colt died, and he would have been 26 3 days ago. That doesn't make any sense. But again, this is a teenager. Literally 3 months ago, my best friend's colt died, and would have been 26 3 days ago. Colt was a gray registered thoroughbred that I like used for light trail riding. He was a stallion his whole life. But like right now I have two geldings, and that is who my new stallion would go in with. And so like I'm not looking for any certain colors or anything much. Just like something that is 4 millimeters. 4mm-2 years registered and a stallion, and like the only breed I totally want is literally a thoroughbred.
This teenager should not be getting a thoroughbred stallion. Can I start there?
You may. I need to call. So disturbing.
I don't think we need to make any more comments on that one.
You know that a colt is not 26 years old, okay?
Yeah, that's true. That's the other thing. That is the other thing. And I love how he had to clarify that it died at 26 3 days ago. We had to know that fact.
Too much information. Like, literally, It was like 3 days ago.
But you know what? They're very appreciative, this person, because he's very glad that we clicked the ad. So very appreciative teenager. Yeah.
Yes. Good job.
Chelsea says this one, horse 11, $100. Will stand to be mount. Ride needs some work. This mare a bucker and will constantly buck. You can go to rodeos with her and she can buck her heart's delight, or ride in the ring for the thrill of a lifetime. Or convince your enemies to get on and watch them freak out and possibly get injured. It's a gray-white whore and teeny black spots. 100 or trade for tools or horse with no buck.
Yeah. I got this really well-broke horse in my backyard that I absolutely love. If only I could trade it for something that will hurt me and buck me off. Oh, my gosh. She'll stand them out, though.
She'll stand them out, but after that, you're on your own.
Oh,
I love how, I wonder, you know, what they put it in the ad. You convince your enemies to get on and watch them freak out and possibly get injured. You know this person did that. That's why they're thinking about putting it in the ad, because they did that to their enemy. Yeah, come on,
like,
ride my horse.
What can we do with
great,
this
we'll
horse.
Go out for trail ride. Yeah. So watch that tree.
Or that's the kind of horse that go, oh, man. Poor horse. I could fix her. Who does send in the next one? Horse refresher and exercising over the winter, and in parentheses, trade. Need a horse. Oh, it's a question. Need a horse exercised and kept saddle-wise over the winter? We can ride out together and enjoy the afternoon, or I can ride out alone. I can ride out alone for a donation of 5 bales of quality weed and dust-free horse hay per hour of saddle time, or $25. I'm willing to ride your horses in exchange of you coming over and riding one of mine.
What?
What?
She wants you to ride the one above.
Yes.
Yeah,
same,
exactly.
Same person.
Are you my enemy? Then come over and we'll ride together. I'll put you on the gray whore with the black spots.
Oh, apparently she's bored with her own horses, this person.
I guess. Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's save the rest of them for next week. We're kind of running out of time. So, Jennifer, make a note of that because we don't want to miss the safest horse for sale. We'll start with that one next week. But so now we got to pick a winner of the book. Boy, we got a lot of use out of a couple of these today. What do you think?
Oh my gosh, I'm looking over blah blah blah. Let's see. I like the rototiller because they really sold the rototiller and basically gave the horses away.
Yeah. Oh, let's just go with that.
I
like that one too.
Won a horse. What? Best good was a good one. The teenager, the
and the other
the bucking,
good one too
the
was the bucking
one.
Really
good too.
Chelsea, yeah, that was a pretty bad dad. What do you think? Pick one. We'll go with your pick today.
God. Wow, my pick. Now the pressure's on. I'm going to piss everybody else off. Oh, let's just go with the first one, the rototiller one. Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. Rotor tiller one is Sienna. Sienna wins that one, the rotor tiller one. So good job, Sienna. All right, now we have to head on over like we do at the end of every month. And we go to Diane, who is from EquityMFG.com. And she helps us pick a winner for the Flex and Fork. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
What is new over at Equity?
Well, I got to cross something off my bucket list.
What was that? What was that?
I got a mule.
Really?
Woo! Yes,
did you get
I've been
on a
wanting
bad
a mule.
Craigslist ad? Was it a bad Craigslist ad?
No.
Bucking mule. Come and get it. I'll trade for a quiet mule. Was it one of those
no.
ads?
No. No, she's actually a good mule.
Why did you get a mule for trail riding?
Yeah, I just had wanted a mule. I couldn't really tell you why. It just always had appealed to me. My husband asked me the same thing.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because you and your husband have a barn full of beautiful Lusitanos and Andalusians, and you wanted
a
mule.
I know.
Bless
actually, she's very cute, and even Joseph thinks she's adorable, so...
Is this one of those, this honey, like he comes home from like a long day of work, sits down, pours himself a drink, and you're like, hey, guess what? I got a mule. Is it
well,
one of those?
But I did it before I got the mule. He doesn't like surprises.
Good.
So, yes.
Guess what I'm getting tomorrow, honey?
Yes.
So you did it that before. Okay.
Some
it.
Version of that, yes.
Yeah,
love
the
it.
Expensive fancy horses, they'll love the mule. It'll be fine. It'll be good.
Yeah. Those Andalusians are like kicking her in the kneecap. But they're like, what are you doing here?
Actually, my Azteca, which is a quarter horse Andalusian mare, that is her new BFF. They love each other.
Aww.
So it's very cute.
Well, you're going to have to post a picture on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning of your new toy, okay? Definitely
yes, I have
that.
One on my page. I'll try to share it. Yes. She's very
we should
great.
Have done a new horse segment with you, okay? We'd have a new new mule segment.
That's right. Is it broke? Is it broke? You're going to ride it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I'm already riding her. Yes, yes.
Yay.
They say for trail riding, they're great.
I didn't start out with my first mule experience with a mule that wasn't broke, so...
Like so many of them.
Yes. No, so far, she's just been a delight. So I had to, like, learn how to bridle a horse, bridle again, though, because trying to get the head stall on and off over the ears is pretty comical. So,
never thought about that.
Yes, it's a little tricky.
Actually, they do make, I do know this from Mary Kitzmiller, who does a show with us once a month, who is a mule trainer. And they make a special bridle that unhitches at the top so you don't have to put it over the ears.
I know. I found that out after I got the mule.
Yeah, they make a special bridle and halter for that for also so that you don't have to fuss with the ears. Well, this is great. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you to Equity for continuing to be a sponsor every Friday for Really Bad Ads, our most popular segment we do on any show. And you guys are so generous, and you donate a Flex and Fork every month. What we do is we put all the names of everybody that submitted ads all month long, whether we've read them or not, because there's a lot that just don't make it to the air either. And we have 147 of those names this month. So Diane is going to pick a number between 1 and 147. Jennifer's going to look at her spreadsheet and tell us who won the Flex and Fork. So, Diane, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
132.
Ooh, going high. 132, going high. Jennifer.
132 is Brenda. Oh, this is a great name. Brenda Osterhout wins a Flex and Fork.
Well, congratulations, Brenda. Yay, good for you. And you will get many years of use out of it. I was just saying that I was cleaning the paddocks yesterday. I think we've had ours over 3 years now that we've, and it hasn't
Mine
broke
too.
Yet. Yeah, it's been over 3 years since we got ours. Although the handle is starting to fray a little now. I have to say. But that's from years of me just throwing it in the wheelbarrow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm bad at that. But, Diane, you know, we've gotten in trouble by your husband for saying they last forever. And, you know, not everything lasts forever. But this sure as hell lasted longer than any other manure fork I've ever used.
Yes. I have some that are really old.
Is that right? So, you have some really old ones? Now, can you buy a replacement handle? Just a handle?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, we're probably going to need
Which
to do that.
Which is
the
so bizarre, because nobody needs replacement handles. People need replacement tines. It's so your product is just so great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, but sometimes, like I've been known to catch a handle in a gate as I go through on the quad.
Uh-huh.
Well,
and break a handle. So those things happen.
I do have to report that we had a death in the family, and I think it was a shaken fork from the picture. Robin Donahue out of Texas, who's had hers for a long time. She's one of our most longest listeners, and she sent me a picture. She actually broke it down where the mechanism is near the thing, and I asked her, "How the heck did you do that? These things don't break." And she said, remember she got herself a new draft horse? We had her on to highlight the new draft horse, Jamie?
Yeah.
Well, the new draft horse and the old horse that she had were mixing it up a bit. And let's just say the fork got between them at the wrong time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So when you use your manure fork to break up a fight, you have a risk of it getting kicked and breaking. I'm sorry, there isn't anything that's going to stop 12,000 pounds of pressure from a back hoof from breaking your manure fork. That's going to happen. So, yeah.
Better the fork than Robin.
That's true. Yes, true.
Yeah.
If she had gotten between the two, that bill would have been more than $200. So.
Right.
She was going out right away to buy a new one.
We can say that basically the Equity Flex and Fork has officially saved a human life.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there you go. Put that on the front page, on the home page.
It will save your life. Literally, save your life. That's
well,
awesome.
Jennifer, we'll contact the winner of the Flex and Fork. And thank you so much, Diane, for joining us. And congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you. Happy Derby Day tomorrow.
You too.
Love it.
We'll see you, Diane.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, that's it, Jamie. We've run out of time. What a fast show. It just seemed to fly by. And the more we think about it and the more you guys talked, I am very confident with my picks, with Key Knights and Frost. American Pharoah. I am
the
coming in
talked,
with confidence
I thought
tomorrow.
You were going to say, the more I talk to you, I think you're right, Jamie. It's going to be Dortmund. You're like, no, I'm going to pick my long shot.
Well, the fact that you're hardly ever right gives me confidence in my pick.
That's my money to lose. Whatever.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Jamie, for putting the show together. Thank you to Dawn Deans for joining us. And a very special thank you to Billy Goodman taking time out of his day at Todd Pletcher's stable at Churchill Downs, and also to Jessica Smith for helping to book that. Jessica's one of my Facebook friends, and I know that she had something to do with the races over there, and I wrote to her, and she said, oh, I'll find the best groom that is the most talkative, and she did. So good for her.
It was awesome.
That's it, Jamie.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go at Dortmund and spay, neuter, and geld. Don't geld Dortmund.
Go Keenite. Woohoo! Keenite.
Good luck. Good luck. If you win, I'm going to freak out.
Go frost some cake now.